Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome to episode 128 of the Talking Golf Getaways podcast. Incredible. Thanks for joining us on iTunes, Audio Boom, or on the new golftripx.com site, our golf trip experts website, dedicated entirely to content designed with the traveling golfer in mind. We are here for you. Or as we used to say in New York, hey, I'm here for you. I am your host, Mitch Lawrence, in Myrtle Beach. He's Darren Bunch out in California. As always, you can reach us on the interwebs at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter. Or if you want to reach out to each of us individually, I'm Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram, LAURANCE. You should know that by now. Darren's at Getaways Golf on Twitter. Hit us with your thoughts, your ideas, how you're liking the new website, suggestions for improvements, technical issues you've encountered, recipes for great haggis dishes, you name it. We'll listen.
Hey, it's interesting you mentioned that too, because, you know, we're talking about this trip that we're going to do. We're going to invite a bunch of listeners and friends and people to come play Sweetens Cove with us in August. And somebody came up with a great idea the other day when we were talking about food and beverage for that event, that we need to come up with a sticky toffee pudding type treat for everyone to partake in. And I think we should put it out there. I think we need people to start sending us sticky toffee pudding recipes. We know a few. We have a few. Obviously, we got one while we were in Scotland. Our friend Tom Mackin has taken a cooking class and made sticky toffee pudding. So I think we need to get us some sticky toffee pudding.
Okay, that sounds great. I think we should expand it, though. I think we should go for the sticky toffee pudding recipe of some variety. And to celebrate the inaugural Talking Golf Getaways Golf Trip X Sweetens Cove jaunt, that we should come up with something special for that trip. In other words, something, it can be anything, that we would also have that's going to highlight that trip that we can bring back in other years.
Something in one perfect bite that says Sweetens Cove.
Exactly. And I have a feeling that there might be something sweet in it.
It's possible.
Call me crazy. That's just, and I know sticky toffee pudding is sweet, but I'm thinking we come up with an actual dessert that's got Sweetens Cove in the name that we can patent, frankly, we can copyright.
I like it.
Let's see, before we get started, and we're going to get started, we have a great episode for you today. You and Eric Hart, our good friend, great golf writer, and now the associate editor of Golf Trip Experts. You and he had a great conversation. Before we get to that, one of the questions we've gotten from some folks is why the X in golftripx.com? You can explain this. Go ahead.
That's a good question, Mitch. We're using the X in a variety of ways, not just to be hip, although, you know, that would be enough considering that you and I are the epitome of hip.
excuse me? Well, I thought you said, I could have sworn you said we were the epitome of it.
At its most simple level, the X is just our shorthand for experts in the golf trip experts. But it's more than that. Sometimes we use the X for experience, the heart and soul of any golf adventure, whether you're playing close to home or traveling to some exotic location. And then we've got the various X factors that we discuss here on the podcast and throughout our content at golftripx.com. That cool stuff that makes up a golf traveler's life beyond the courses and resorts. Everything from essays and musings on the soul of the game to non-golf activities that elevate our travel. Like, if you remember, Mitch, back in episode 124, when we spent 2 hours talking about the best things we ate in 2018.
I do remember that. My stomach is still upset. And that was a while ago. That was last year. And I still feel that way. But that's great. And I love that those are the things you counted on, and especially the experience is great. The X factors, I think, are going to be a big part of what Golf Trip X is going to be about too. I think there's going to be so much stuff that comes up between all of us who are golf travelers. I think this is just going to be a great, great journey. So for all of those of you out there who thought it was just golf trip experts, nay, nay, say I. Nay, nay. All right, today we're going to get a little of all three of the X's, you and another of our golf travel experts and one of our good friends, as I said, Midwest-based writer Eric Hart, are going to talk about a destination region that many people might not know about. And that's Muskoka in Ontario, Canada, within a couple hours of Toronto. I know you two had an unbelievable trip.
Oh, that's right. We're going to detail some of the highlights of playing in what is called the Canadian Shield. Eric and I will talk about that a little bit later. And yes, Mitch, there will be more than a few X factors in today's conversation. We're going to talk about family-friendly lakeside resorts. We're going to talk about camp experiences. And we're going to talk about lots of food, ice cream, and of course, milkshakes will be mentioned.
No. You're going to talk about milkshakes?
I know it's hard to believe.
I really hope that, oh yeah, of course, you recorded it. So we do have it on tape. All right, well, clearly that sounds like a lot of fun and a part of Canada that any golf traveler worth his Doug Carrick and Thomas McBroom should definitely check out.
That was funny. I see what you did there.
Ah, good. I was hoping you did. All right, without any further introduction, here's Darren and Eric reliving their summertime journey to the Muskoka region of Ontario, Canada. Enjoy.
Eric Hart, known as the mobile golfer on the social media, is back with us. Eric, welcome back to Talking Golf Getaways.
Thank you. Awesome to be back.
It's going to be fun today. We're going to talk about our trip to Muskoka, Ontario in Canada, and kind of do a 9 reasons to make Muskoka your summer golf destination in the coming year. But first, before we dive into the 9 reasons, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, how you researched and planned the itinerary for this, because this was kind of, you set this trip up, I got to go along with you, but, you know, what about Muskoka drew your attention? And then, you know, how did you go about choosing what it was that we ended up playing?
This kind of flipped on the head, everything we've always done on all our big trips. You know, you've kind of always coordinated them, Scotland and everything. And it was kind of interesting for me this time to have you say, I don't want to do any research. I don't want to know anything about them. I just want to go and have a great time and see what you got us. And, you know, it made it a little bit more nerve-wracking from the planning standpoint, because I was sitting here saying, I hope he likes this. I hope he likes this. I hope he likes this. But, you know, it was cool when it was all said and done to know that out of these 10, 11 courses that we played that we'd never seen before and, you know, only minimally researched on here, that we really didn't find one that we didn't like. So that was pretty cool. In terms of coming up with the plan in the first place, yeah, I always go back to our buddy, Jason Deegan, and start there, because he's been everywhere. And, you know, I like to ask him, you know, what his perspective is. And he's said for years to me, Eric, if you ever make it up to Muskoka, you'll think it's one of the most beautiful places you've ever been, but man, those rocks. And no doubt about that. But with Deegan's advice on a couple places, and with our buddies up there, Brian Kendall and Jeff Brook from Canada, their suggestions were very helpful. And, you know, they made it worth researching, and it turned out really good, I think.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we took your son Dylan with us. How old is Dylan now?
Dylan is 16, almost 17, but he was, 15, turning on 16 there. And he was a scrawny, scrappy little thing a year ago. He's put on 28 pounds of muscle since then. So he's still a scrawny little thing for his body, but he can hit that ball now. So it was cool to watch you guys go back and forth all week.
People have heard us talk about the big giant match Dylan and I played the whole way. I was playing hickories, and it was such a difference from the previous year when we had traveled together, where I kind of was able to manhandle Dylan with distance, and that is just not the case anymore. His game is coming along to a point that, you know, we played this crazy match, and we'll talk about it a little bit later of how it ended up, but You know, we had an absolute blast. The match lasted the entirety of the entire of the trip. And I would like to say that I prevailed, but unfortunately I did not.
It couldn't have been closer though. Like a lot of your matches, you know, you've had epic battles with Tom Mackin and Brian Orr, and so many of those come down to the final hole and the final round and all that, which is the way a great match should be. But this one was insane in that way. It came down to the last hole, didn't it?
Came down the last hole, and it was a roller coaster at times. I mean, Dylan was up by quite a few at one point. I was up by quite a few at one point, and we came down to the final hole. So we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, some of these places that we're going to talk about today, Mitch and I have already given a little mention to in our year in review episodes. That was back in episodes 124 through 126. So, you know, people have heard those, might hear a little bit of repetition, hear us give a little extra love to some of these places. But, you know, there's something about this entire region. First of all, it's not too far from Toronto. Basically, we flew into Toronto. It's about 100 miles to Gravenhurst from Toronto. And that Gravenhurst, I guess, is considered the gateway to Muskoka, is it not?
Yes.
I think you mentioned that this region is kind of known as Ontario's Hamptons or Canada's Minnesota. Are those real nicknames?
Well, the Ontario's Hamptons is real. The Canada's Minnesota is my own take on it. just the thousands of lakes that we saw everywhere, it just seemed like Minnesota. So, but yes, the Ontario's Hamptons is a straight shot that I heard several different times from people. It's our buddy who lives up there, who has a cabin up there, Brian Kendall, he said, you know, this is where the rich of the rich go and they have their fourth and fifth homes. So, you know, the Ontario Hamptons sure seem to fit.
A lot of what we talk about in these golf courses, as you mentioned earlier, the rocks. And so we played through essentially the famed Canadian Shield. I would just like to say the Canadian Shield is made up of igneous and metamorphic rocks, because that's probably the only time on Talking Golf Getaways I'll ever get to say those words. You had a great quote, though, from one of the gentlemen we played with from Muskoka Tourism.
Yeah, the marketing manager up there, Jordan, was super fun to play with. We got to play with him out on Big Wind Island. He said, you know, Canadian Shield golf is so unique. Yes, it's mountain golf in a sense, but it's also a lot of different things. He said it deserves to be its own category, like desert golf in the U.S., mountain golf, links golf. He said it's so many of the things that those golf aspects have while still remaining its own thing.
That's a good way to put it. And we are going to dive right into the list. These are really in no specific order. You know, we've got nine different items we're going to talk about here, but we're going to start with Muskoka Bay Club and Resort, which is near Gravenhurst. The golf course is ranked number 16 in Canada, which includes public and private courses by Score Golf up there, which is kind of the authority on Canadian golf. And man, I got to say, it's some of the most extreme terrain you will ever find for a golf course. And because of that, it's really quite memorable.
We kind of did it backwards in a sense with this, to where we started with probably the hardest course on the entire trip. you know, we didn't just roll in slowly and get comfortable. We got rocked right out of the gate. And Muskoka Bay, I mean, hole after hole was just stunning and beautiful, and the mountains and the water and everything all around you, and you're so remote, and it's just really wild. But you know, we got up to that ninth hole, which, you know, I've always equated to one of your favorite holes at Tobacco Road, one of your favorite courses, that blind green. And, you know, this one was just at a different level. You can see the green when you tee off, and it's downhill and then all the way steep back up. But when you get down there to the bottom and have to hit up into this hidden green surrounded by all these boulders, you just don't think there's any way you could possibly hit that green.
It's funny you mentioned that, and I hadn't thought about that, but it is very much like the approach shot is very much like the 13th, the final shot on the par 5 13th at Tobacco Road, where you can kind of see through a little gap up into this bathtub green. But in this case at Muskoka Bay, that green is surrounded by these rock outcroppings that are really kind of fascinating. I found that hole to be really fun and really cool, even though I think I butchered it on the day we played it.
I think we both did.
Well, it's easy to butcher a lot of holes when you're bouncing them off the rocks. So, you know, that's one of the, I guess, the added hazards to playing this. But Doug Carrick did some great work here. It's very creative. Like you said, that ninth green is unbelievable. I thought it was interesting, something you said too, that, you know, if there was one course on the trip that we could never play every day, but we both wish we could go back again tomorrow and play, it would be Muskoka Bay, because I would like to kind of pit my game against it, knowing what's coming, having seen it one time and try to go around it again and maybe rethink my way around it a little bit better.
Yeah, that's one of those things about these 10, 11, 12 course trips that we jam into a 9, 10 day trip is we find these courses that we wish we could roll right back out onto it and play again. And for sure, Muskoka Bay was one of the, I mean, it wears you out the day you're playing it, but the next morning you're like, man, I'd love another shot at this hole or that hole. And, you know, you referred to the rock backboards and all that all the way around. And, you know, unlike basketball where the bank shot was my go-to shot, it is definitely not my go-to shot in golf.
No, I lost more than a few golf balls off the rocks that day, now that I remember. So a good thing to mention about Muskoka Bay is it's a full resort now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had mentioned the infinity pool outside the clubhouse is just outstanding. In fact, the clubhouse and where it sits up on top of this perch overlooking a few holes of the golf course is really quite spectacular.
It's a little surreal. I was trying to think of another clubhouse where you have that kind of a view. You definitely don't have many clubhouses where you look out the window of the golf shop and you see this infinity pool. But then when you're in the infinity pool, looking over the ledge at the entire first hole down there, you know, and you kind of get to take in the panorama of all the cliffs and everything. It was very unique for even the Canada trip that we were on, but it's unique for anything we'd see here too.
Exactly. And they've got some great on-course lodging. We stayed in the lofts, which are one and two bedroom lofts. They're very stylish, very comfortable, two-story. So you walk in, you've got kind of your living area and kitchen downstairs, and then you go up to the bedrooms. They also have villas that will sleep a lot more people. So if you're going to go do a Muskoka vacation, it's really a good place to possibly make the home base for a couple of days or more of the trip.
It's hard from the sense to where we love that place so much, but this next place that we're talking about at number two, Muskoka Bay was awesome, but we never wanted to leave Taboo. And if you don't mind me cutting into that as our second one, Taboo, that resort, I mean, we could have stayed there the whole week easily, right on the lake as it was too. And talk about great lodging from one great host to another. Taboo was something else.
Yeah, very clean, very modern, very, you know, we're going to talk about some places on this list that they have more of a summer camp feel, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a different mentality, but everything about Taboo is just kind of stylish. The rooms, the hotel, we're going to talk about the golf course, but even the little cool swinging man logo for Taboo Golf Club, you know, everything about it was just kind of on point from a branding standpoint. I feel like, you know, the golf course itself, it's ranked number 82 in Canada. We both had we had a blast there. I think Dylan and I liked it even more than you did.
Definitely.
So 82 feels just too low. You know, to be honest, it's a very fun golf course designed by Ron Garl, who I've known for years, but I have never, ever played one of his golf courses. So it was the first chance I got to see his work. Really had a great time there. And then, you know, Mitch and I talked about the milkshakes already. I bragged about those back in our Year in Food episode 124 that felt like we spent an entire day talking about great food. And the milkshakes in the clubhouse are perfect. The gimme food truck up on top of the cliff, you know, you get all kinds of turnstop offerings, lobster tacos included up there. So, you know, it's really just a well-run organization, the golf course right across the road from the Lakeside Resort. And it's kind of the perfect 1-2 punch right there, all in one place.
Top to bottom, beginning to end, it really was. It was, I don't know, it's kind of a very value-oriented, for everything that you get in that state, it was really something else. And you mentioned the milkshakes, and I have to throw this in because, you know, we got to play with another great guy up there named Luke. But to tell everybody else out there, you know, Darren and I are huge milkshake people, and my son now has taken over too with his own milkshake rating system. But this guy, you know, Luke that we played with, we talked about the food on this trip and the milkshakes on this trip so much so to where we actually swung back through Gravenhorst to go by Taboo one more time to get another milkshake. And Luke knew we were going through there, called ahead, and paid for our milkshakes on our return visit. So we spread the love for milkshakes all over Muskoka.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, Gary Boyce is the director of golf there. He really knows what it takes to put together a fun, memorable experience. And there's not a lot of glitz and glamour. It's just, it's a good, clean, well thought out golf experience from top to bottom. And, you know, I can't recommend Taboo highly enough. And I know you feel the same.
But the funniest thing about it to me is that your six favorite holes, you and Dylan had almost the exact same six favorite holes on that course, were probably my least favorite six holes, and my favorite six holes were probably your least favorite. So I think anybody could find a ton of love there.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing was, too, about the entire design, there were no holes I disliked.
Right.
You know, and that's rare at this point when we go finding new golf courses. You know, there's always one or two holes on a golf course where I think, you know, this could have been much better. There was nothing I disliked about the Taboo experience in any way, shape, or form. We can haggle over which holes were better than which holes, but it was just a lot of fun. And like you said, this is another place that if we were there, now, if I was going back to Muskoka, I might stay at Taboo 3 nights even.
Oh, yeah.
and play the golf course multiple times and just really enjoy the resort even more as well.
And to second what you said about Gary Boyce, you know, you and I travel all over the country and we find a lot of resorts where, you know, we feel like so many things would improve the overall experience for the golfer if they just got on it. There are very few, if anything, you could find about Taboo that Gary didn't have nailed down. I mean, that guy, he could run any of these top tier resorts in this country and really do something amazing with them.
So let's move on to number three, and it's called The Rock. It's in Minette, Ontario. It is a fitting name because, as we keep talking about it, the Canadian Shield there takes its toll. But it probably gets a little bit more of a bad rap than it should. I'm not sure if it's unfairly criticized because I don't think overall the golf course is quite as good as the previous two we've talked about, and certainly some of the others on this list. But to me, it felt like a property that turned out to be much different than it was originally planned. How do you feel about it?
That's a good way of putting it, because, you know, it's located right next to, I think it's the JW Marriott there, but they're not attached. They're not affiliated with each other. And that disjointed feel, you know, we felt the same thing in the restaurant a little bit, you know. It seemed like all the elements were put there for it to be a really successful, thriving resort. And then whether it was done out of order or whether it was just, you know, rearranged or whatever, it was probably the question mark course we had going in, and we weren't quite sure what we were going to get, and ended up loving it a lot more than we thought we would based on what we'd heard. The Shield was evident throughout, but, you know, we also played a three-man scramble there to make it a little bit more more fun, and we got to take a lot of different shots that I don't know you would normally take during the average round there. So I think we made the most of our experience there, but I was pleasantly surprised by how much better it was than what I had heard.
I feel the same way, and I think you know, people out there, we talk about this a lot, playing alternate formats. You know, we played a lot of golf in this thing. And so it was a perfect day for us to play a three-man scramble to see this golf course for the first time and have a good time, kind of take a little bit of the pressure of scoring off. This whole golf course is designed by Nick Faldo, and you and I both feel like, how the heck did Nick Faldo end up in the middle of the Canadian Shield building a golf course? Because if you had asked me to name 15 designers of this golf course, I don't think Faldo's name makes the list.
I don't think he would have been in the top 100. the interesting thing to me, if you ever get the chance to have him on a podcast after this, would be to ask him, how in the world did you ever end up in Muskoka to design a course? It's just, you know, he's done great work around the world, but Muskoka is one of the last places I would have figured to see a Nick Faldo name. So,
you know, he did the Wilderness Club in Montana, which is in some ways kind of similar to this golf course. Maybe he just pops up in places we don't expect. I don't know it, but it was definitely interesting to see Nick Faldo. And, you know, The Rock, I don't know if it's at the top of my list of things that I would put on this itinerary if we were rebuilding it, but sure. I'm glad we got to see it. And, you're not going to be disappointed if you go there. That's the thing. Again, nothing that we found in this list, like you mentioned earlier, disappointed us. You know, there were some things that were better than others, but any of them, you know, make a good day on a trip. So, you know, as we move to number four, we got Rocky Crest Golf Resort in McTeer, Ontario. It's one of two lakeside resorts that we visited on this trip that kind of have that distinctive summer camp vibe.
Very much had that summer camp vibe with all the water toys out there. It's right on the lake. They've got a nice pier down there with a hot tub and a pool right on the water. A couple restaurants sitting with the deck chairs and everything on the lake. It seemed to come alive in the morning and come alive again at night. It felt like a summer camp as you walked around the whole check-in, check-out. But then, you know, you crossed the street to the course that's affiliated with it, Rocky Crest, and all of a sudden everything just gets amped up and the whole summer camp vibe is gone and you're at a first tier resort course.
Yeah. And you still have that kind of deep woods environment though. The pine log clubhouse at the golf course is very, very cool. This is a design from Thomas McBroom, who is a prolific Canadian designer. We've talked about him a number of times over the course of our 125 plus podcast. Now, I'm kind of split on how I feel about McBroom. Too often I feel like his courses, and I think it's because he dares to build golf courses in challenging terrain like this, like in the Canadian Shield. Too often I think they are a little bit too hard on the playability side. But this course and the one we're going to talk about next, the Rigid Manitou, you know, to me, they're kind of turning me around on McBroom. They're much more playable, and I just felt like this was just a fun day on the golf course while we were out there kind of working our way through the Shield as opposed to battling it, which is what we had done on some of the other courses.
Well, we talk about golf architecture a ton. You know, we always talk about our favorite designers and we've got plenty. There's so many names you could throw out. McBroom was one of those names leading into this trip that I remember you distinctly saying, I'm not too sure how much I'm going to love these McBroom courses. I would have to say going in, they're probably going to be at the bottom of my list. And I remember walking off of Rocky Crest with you and you going, wow. And then even more so at the next course, you know, the double wow. So it was cool to see the transformation from your own perspective, from your own experiences, and see how apparently different his designs were from what you were expecting them to be here.
Yeah, exactly. We can't go past this one without mentioning one of the stranger, cooler resort amenities we've ever seen, and it's the only place I've ever seen it. It was called an instant ice machine in the main lodge kind of lobby where you check in, and a machine where you take a normal bottle of soda, Coke, Sprite, whatever you want, you set it in this machine and it basically turns it into a bottle full of slushy, I guess is the best way to describe it, right?
Yeah, you actually flip the bottle upside down first really fast and then set it in there, and it instantly just morphs into a bottle of ice. But it's kind of, like you said, something we've never seen before. I remember sitting here, there were like four other people standing around the machine, all of us on our video phones to post to all these different places, because we were all blown away by this little 3x8 plastic machine that, you know, it was really pretty humorous. I remember the guy at the desk standing there watching everybody, and you could just hear him chuckling over our shoulder, because we probably looked like tourists on our first visit to, I don't know, Disneyland. But it was it was something else to see it do it. And I remember buying 6 bottles of pop and only drinking one of them just so that I could see it, you know, time and time again. So
I think it's fair to say we invested far too much money and far too much time in a instant ice machine just to get a really cold bottle of soda.
But it worked. You know, it was amazing for what it was. Yes, it was like 11 o'clock at night while we were playing around with it. But man, on a hot day, that machine in Las Vegas or Mesquite or St. George would be awesome.
Oh, that is true. One thing that you and Dylan did that I did not do while we were at Rocky Crest is you hopped in the car and took a quick drive to go to Sequin Valley, which is another course nearby that had what you thought was probably the coolest par 3 hole you would have seen on the entire trip, right?
For me, it was the coolest public par 3 hole we saw on the entire trip. I love Devil's Paintbrush. You know, there was some there that I liked, but this one was definitely that. And to be honest, we hopped in the car to go find a Tim Hortons, and, you know, Dylan was on a donut binge, so we went after that. But then, Seguin Valley was right over there near it, and we'd heard that they had moose there in the evening, so we went looking for moose, and, you know, we found this, their signature hole there, this probably 200-yard carry par 3 with this curving wooden bridge that also had a platform out there about halfway from where you would, you know, hit your 3rd, 5th, 7th, 9th, and 11th shot. But, you know, sitting there watching Dylan just hit the green, I'm like, okay, this isn't right anymore. And then, you know, we're driving across the bridge to go get his 3 balls on the green, and he's like, hey, Dad, can I just stop at this drop box and hit 4 more shots? And, you know, watching him hit off the bridge essentially to that hole, it's one of those. I've got several great pictures of it, and I've posted them over the time, but, you know, if you get a chance to go play or go check out that course, that one hole was just, it was PPC Sawgrass for Canada.
Well, and that's a thing too of traveling with Dylan. We've talked about this on the podcast some over the years, but Dylan loves hitting iron shots and wedge shots. And so, you know, we've spent many an evening at various golf courses with him, either, you know, trying to hole out shots on putting greens, trying to hole out shots on short holes, pretty much anywhere he can play until it's too dark to play. He will keep trying to hit shots and spin shots in and do all kinds of crazy stuff with wedges that the rest of us can only dream of.
Well, and we've been on trips with him, you know, he travels with me and you pretty much everywhere. And we've been on trips with him where he's out there on the putting green and chipping green in the dark with a flashlight on pointed at the hole so that he can keep chipping at the hole. So
yeah,
it's one of those things that gives you and I a lot of perspective as to, you know, true love of the game.
Yep, exactly. Number 5, the ridge at Manitou, which Manitou.
I've always said Manitou. I don't know. It's probably wrong.
All right. You're probably right. It's in McKellar, Ontario. It's ranked 57 in Canada. And it was probably our biggest surprise of the trip. And it's got to be one of the more underrated courses we've seen in a while anywhere.
You know, there's no public course on this trip that I could rave about more than that one. And, you know, we go to these great places like Sand Valley that, for all intents and purposes, are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, Band and Prairie Club. And they have the supreme advantage of being built up with great lodging by great facility companies, you know. And the Ridge of Manitou, if any of these corporations or any of these big pocket people came along and put a lodge there, it would just transform that place. I mean, it's 20 miles to the nearest lodging to this course, and this course is just out of this world. In fact, you and I had the awesome experience of hopping on a boat with these guys and pulled up to the dock while we were sitting out there eating on the patio overlooking the lake, and these guys took us out on the boat and then spun us around and pulled us up to the dock, and we said like a boss at the time, you know, but that whole approach of all these boaters coming from all over the place, you know, and pulling up to this pier and hopping out and playing and eating at the, you know, on the dock and then hopping back on their boat and taking off. I mean, between the Ridge of Manitou and Big Wind Island with the Port Ludington Lodge, those two places have it nailed. But Port Ludington Lodge, you know, they're the lodging facility, the gateway to Big Wind Island. The Ridge of Manitou needs a place like that.
Exactly. It really does. It needs some kind of world-class accommodations there. That spot is perfect. Great little back porch spot. I mean, it's got a good restaurant, but you can sit out on the back porch, have lunch, look out over Manitowabing Lake. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. But, you know, the guy was doing pizzas, right, on the back porch the day we were there having lunch.
Yes, wood fire.
Yeah, and we found ourselves on the golf course. Again, this is another McBroom that really is starting to turn me around on some of what he can do. We just loved each hole more than the next and wondered as we kind of worked our way through the golf course why that place doesn't get more love, because we just had a blast there. And you know, it's like anything. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're the outliers who just found the beauty in this place. But, you know, I would go back there in a heartbeat, had an absolute blast. And it also wins for the best on-course snack of the trip.
I knew you'd bring that one up.
That's right. The Maple Rice Krispie Bars, probably the best Rice Krispie. And I have had my share of Rice Krispie bars over my 50 years, and these are by far the best I've ever had. You're going to see that maple is a theme, obviously. We're going to mention it in the next one as well. But the Ridge of Manitou, I'm with you. I just don't understand why it's not getting more love, and I think it should, and hopefully we're going to do our part to get more people to add it to their itinerary if they're going to the Muskoka area.
Two things for me, you know, the Maple Rice Krispie Bars, the only mistake they made in those things was not making enough for you. So, you know, and then my second to that would be, if there was one course we would have left off of our itinerary and really, really, really regretted it upon hindsight, it would have been this one to me. This was the round that just kind of, we drove up there early in the morning, didn't know what we were going to get. It was foggy. You couldn't really even see the lake. And then all of a sudden, the fog lifted, and that place just took on a surreal light. And it was definitely the round that I remember just being most blown away by, from my perspective.
Well, and even when you come to the end of it, you know, because you're playing back in the woods for most of the time on that golf course, but the 18th hole then kind of spills you back down the mountain toward the lake and the clubhouse. It's just, it's a beautiful setting. And, you know, you mentioned the Rice Krispie bars. I believe we bought out the last couple, and it wasn't
we
were playing in the afternoon. You know, we're talking about middle of the day. And you're right. I literally would have gone back and bought like six of them to throw in the car and eat on the rest of the trip, because they were that good. So. All right, let's move. Number six, Deerhurst Resort and the Deerhurst Highlands Golf Club. This is in Huntsville. We spent a little bit of time in Huntsville. We kind of crossed it twice, if I remember correctly. It's a Bob Cupp-Thomas McBroom collaboration, the golf course itself. And it's got some crazy elevation changes. The opening hole is a crazy roller coaster. It's got holes 4, 5, and 6 are really good linksy holes, but they do kind of have a different feel than the rest of the golf course. But really, this entire resort was more about the resort itself from a family standpoint for you. It's kind of the place that you'd want to have a family vacation, right?
if I were going to take my family to Muskoka and spend any time anywhere, you know, Deerhurst Resort had every amenity that my kids would love, that any kids, you know, really would love. And I looked at Deerhurst, Taboo, and, you know, Port Cunnington kind of in the same light. They just cater to every kind of golfer, the golf individual, the golf couple, the golf family. And Deerhurst, with their zip line and water park and climbing wall and arcade and the spa beach and even the other lakeside course that they had, aside from the Highland one that we play, you know, there was just more and more and more and more. And they had the different restaurants. They had the buffet breakfast that had everything you could possibly want. They had the stellar views. They were close to town, which, you know, I'm going to let you roll into the town one because I know one of your favorite ice cream places in the world is there. But yeah, you mentioned the course itself, and that's some crazy combo of Bob Cupp and Thomas McBroom in and of itself. But, you know, the resort for a family vacation was about as epic as it gets for our Canada experience.
This is the place that Deerhurst is where you mentioned Luke earlier, who made the call in advance for us when we were on our way back through Gravenhurst to stop at Taboo and paid for our milkshakes. Was it Luke Nixon Jansen, I think is his full name.
Yes, sir.
He's the director of sales and revenue management there. Really good guy. And, you know, just everyone we encountered at the resort, you know, from the front desk people to just the housekeeping staff, everybody was great. Deerhurst Resort is really, it's on point in terms of the service model, in terms of the golf model, and it also the food and beverage is just is outstanding. Back in Ep 124, I talked about the maple sap poached salmon that I had up at the Antler Restaurant at Deerhurst Highlands. You know, you're a fan of, they had a stunning breakfast buffet with views off the deck of the lake. So it's just, it's really one of those well done resorts from top to bottom, and the kind of place that you'd want to take your family and your kids and your wife and everybody, even if everybody doesn't play golf. There's just so much to do. And then you can go into Huntsville, number 7 on our list. And again, this is another one that we've mentioned before on the podcast. You go to Belly Ice Cream Company in Huntsville, and all natural, handcrafted artisan ice cream from Chef Shelley Westgarth. I always have a hard time saying that. One of the things when I talked about it back in episode 124 that I didn't realize is they hand make everything. So not just the ice cream, but marshmallows, brownies, caramel, you name it. If it's coming out of there in a cup for you, it's getting made in that shop, and it's amazing. And some of the flavors are just simply crazy.
Well, absolutely. You know, you and I on our Scotland trip, you know, we developed a reputation as sticky toffee pudding, you know, people. And we...
Aficionados is probably the best word.
Correct. And we sampled, you know, 8, 9, 10 different ones along that trip. But one of the last things, as great as sticky toffee pudding can be in general and with ice cream, one of the last things I ever imagined was somebody making a sticky toffee pudding ice cream that actually tasted like sticky toffee pudding. And that being one of the flavors was crazy. I mean, I had the obscene chocolate brownie. I know you tried the Scotch whiskey and smoked almonds, you know, salted caramel. We both laughed at the wild blueberry lavender. But, I mean, you know, the crazy thing about it is you mentioned the chef. They put these ice cream flavors out there, whether it was 16 or 18 that they had in the cooler that day when we were looking at it and we tried to gauge each of them. But she was saying that they switch out those flavors like daily. So
yeah,
they come up with 10, 12 different flavors and just keep rolling them out. There may be better ice cream out there in the world, but there can't be very many that are more creative than this.
Oh, it's easily one of my favorite ice cream shops anywhere I've been in the world. You know, we talk about places, you and I, you know, you turned me on to the Yard Milkshake Bar in Alabama. And you go to those places and it's the spectacle of it. You know, the ice cream is very good, but it's this huge, you know, kind of more ice cream and toppings than any person should probably consume. You know, you go to Belly, you can just get a scoop and be happy, man. If I just had a scoop of sticky toffee pudding on a cone, I'd be done for the day. It'd be perfect. And so that's a place that if you're going through Huntsville, you're visiting Deerhurst Resort, you've got to stop at Belly Ice Cream Company. I wish I could have her come open a franchise right here in Bakersfield because I would eat there every day.
I just can't imagine going there and only trying one flavor, though. That'd be my thing. You know? They'd
that
have
is
to
a good
give
point.
Me an egg carton and put a scoop into all 12 components of an egg carton. So
I believe the day, and I mean, we should point out, I think we went there three times in essentially 2 days. What we haven't mentioned on the podcast is in the ongoing match between Dylan and I, whoever lost the day's round of golf had to buy the other guy ice cream. Usually it was a milkshake, but in the case of Belly, it was whatever you wanted to get there. And I think the first time we went in, I did exactly what you're talking about. I got three different scoops, including the sticky toffee pudding. I think they had a banana flavor, and I'm a sucker for banana ice creams. So, you know, I just wanted to try as much as possible. And I think we all tried something different every time we went in because there was so much to choose from.
We'd be doing a big disservice to our trip if we didn't say that some of those ice creams that you guys bought each other were booster juice smoothies. So,
well, that is true. I mean, the booster juice is one of those things, too, that I don't get here in California. So, and it's not the same. I've mentioned booster juice to other people, and, you know, it's like saying Tim Hortons is the same as Dunkin' Donuts.
Nope.
I mentioned booster juice, and they say, well, it's the same as Jamba Juice. No,
nope.
It's not.
It's not.
Booster juice is just much better, and I don't know why, but it is. So,
yep.
All right, let's wrap this up. We've got numbers 8 and 9 here. They're kind of a 1-2 punch. We'll start with the lodging. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. The Port Cunnington Lodge is on the Lake of Bays, and which I think is one of the truly great names for a lake. And it's another lodging spot that I've actually mentioned a little bit in our year in review in episode 125. It's another of these properties with kind of a cool summer camp vibe, kind of an upscale summer camp vibe, though. I think I mentioned on the previous podcast that it kind of feels like they would film an episode of the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel series from this place, because it's just it's the most of where you feel like this is the Ontario, the Hamptons of the Ontario, because it just kind of has that whole easygoing, laid back, great service mentality, but just has so much else.
It was the perfect wrap to the entire experience, I feel like. I mean, we were looking for a place where we could just sit on the beach, where we could kick back in a chair, where we could play ping pong and darts and, you know, paddle around in a kayak and just really, you know, lay back. And the whole Port Cunnington Lodge experience, you would never take it as a golf resort from the sense to where golf is really not connected to it at all. And then all of a sudden it is. I mean, we had great lodging, you know, as you talked about, all the different aspects of it, the buffet breakfast that they had there. But my highlight from it was getting up 6 o'clock in the morning before the sun was up, hopping in those kayaks with my son and you know, paddling out there, hitting a mile and a half out and a mile and a half back and watching the sun come up over the trees and glance off the water. And, you know, just for the Port Cunnington Lodge experience itself, the summer camp, the layback, this is really vacation away from the city part of it were absolutely superb highlights.
Yeah, it's one of the places, probably the only place on the entire trip where I spent just a lot of time in the actual lake. There's 1,800 feet of sandy shoreline, and you know, people out there laying out, kids playing. They've got trampolines out in the water for kids to play in. But man, I just went out and went for a swim one afternoon on one of the warm afternoons, just sat in the water, kicked back. It is so tranquil there. And then the lodging itself is great. I mean, you guys stayed in the Boathouse Suite, so you were literally right on the water, like overlooking the dock and the lake right there. I stayed in the Chickadee Cottage, which is kind of a little tiny house all its own. I talked about that in the previous episode. What I like about the property as a whole is there are so many different lodging types or accommodations types. They've got full houses, they've got villas, they've got the cottages like I stayed in. They've got the Boathouse Suites, which had, I think, three or six rooms there in where you guys stayed. And so it's got a ton of variety. You can kind of build your own vacation there depending on how many people you've got. You know, we were three guys and we were able to set it up that way, but a bigger family or an extended family could come and have a good time there. And then you've got, you know, all the amenities that, like you said, the game rooms, there's an adult game room and a kids game room. We played probably more ping pong than anyone should one night, you know, back and forth. And you mentioned the breakfast buffets. I still remember the cherry pastries mm-hmm. in there from that morning were just another thing where I wish I could have just wrapped up five or six and just taken them with us on the rest of the trip because, I'm all about the pastries, apparently.
Yeah, another cool thing about it is, you know, we described the family camp vibe. It'd be a high-end family camp, summer camp vibe, but the cool thing when you walk in and you check in is the owner's there, and, you know, they're patrolling the property and checking in with everybody and making sure you have everything you need, you know, throughout the entire experience. And obviously from a golfer standpoint, the greatest single amenity is the fact that the only way a public golfer gets onto Big Wind Island out there off there is through Port Cunnington Lodge.
Right. Exactly. And so, we took a water taxi, as they call it, which is a boat, took a boat ride to Big Wind Island one morning to go play. Big Wind Island it's also on the Lake of Bays, but it's its own island, obviously from the name. It's ranked number 20 in Canada by Score Golf. It's the kind of a truly unique stay and play experience when you pair it with Cunnington Lodge. And the ferry ride is a lot of fun. You get to see a lot there, but once you're out on the island, it really is an experience away from anything else. It feels like a very private experience,
yeah,
because you're on this private island, but I never felt like it was a particularly stuffy private experience. And that's one of the things that, we're always talking about when you get the opportunity to play a private club. Do you come away from it thinking, well, they made me feel like an outsider because I wasn't, you know, we had a meal there, had a good time. And I mean, talk about the golf course because it's probably the most playable of anything we did. It's a Doug Carrick design and it was just a lot of fun that day.
It had a lot of different elements to it. There were a lot of elevation changes. It climbed way up. I mean, there was a lighthouse sitting up there at the top of the mountain or tower, hill, whatever it was, looking out over the lakes, and you know, even from all the way up at that point, there were tee boxes up there that you could just blast off of down with some pretty crazy panoramic views across the Lake of Bays. And you know, you mentioned it was ranked 20th in Canada by Score Golf. Score Golf tends to get a lot of these right, and they definitely got it right with this one. Big Wind Island belongs way up there, and you also talked about the kind of out there private experience. I try to think again of similar experiences in the United States. I guess, you know, you go off Hilton Head Island, there's, you know, some private courses out down there that kind of get away from everything else and all that. But for our golf trip and everything we went through, you know, Doug Carrick did a remarkable job up here. I'll never forget standing on that thick tee box and just looking out there. And again, you mentioned the boat ride out and back, you know, the personal private shuttle from the lodge. And we got to see it at the prettiest time. We got to roll back in at sunset when everything was absolutely perfect and couldn't have had a better experience.
Yeah. And I think one of the things about the golf course itself that that set it apart so much from the others we played is it didn't have the Canadian Shield effect as much as the courses that were on the mainland.
Right.
Something about it being on the island. You know, you mentioned the six, which is this roller coaster downhill hole that you can see, you know, views for days in the distance. You've got deer everywhere out there. I mean, they outnumber rabbits and people, I think, on that golf course or around the island. The 18th hole there is just, it comes back and gives you full view of the lake as you're coming back in. You know, there's so much about it. And I think some of that is Carrick was able to build more width into the golf course because he didn't have to deal with the Shield nearly as much. And so it gives it the playability that we like in a lot of the modern designs here in the States that are getting, you know, all the hoopla and hype that they rightly should get, you know, the places at Sand Valley and at Gamble Sands and out at Bandon and, you know, those types of places. So to me, it was fun. You had all that. And at the same time, you still had tree-lined holes and this great mix of kind of the terrain as you worked through it. And that's why it was probably the most memorable day, from the boat ride to dinner to, you know, playing the golf course. Everything that we did just, you know, made it a lot of fun and a good way to kind of finish up this Muskoka portion of the trip. I mean, we're going to talk more about some of the other things we did in around Toronto, and we went out to Cobble Beach. We played some other things on this trip, and we're going to put them in a separate podcast. But for Muskoka itself, this was really a great way to kind of wrap up the trip.
It really was. And, you know, working with the Muskoka tourism people from the beginning, I mean, Jordan was fantastic. Luke was great up there. Ontario Tourism, they do a great job of promoting, you know, Muskoka for its own brand that it is. And I remember going up there with just that word in my head, Muskoka, what does it mean? What's it going to be? Is it just rocks? It was so much more than anything I could have imagined. And, you know, we talked about this a bit when we were going through it. We've got our rankings of our, you know, our top 100 courses, our top 50 courses and all that. And, you know, when we finish up these trips that we go on, we discuss where they fall. And the coolest thing to me was having three Muskoka courses, you know, from a place that I'd never really heard of other than, you know, just here and there, having three of them on my top 100 with the Ridge of Manitou, Big Wind Island, and Muskoka Bay all being among the top 100 places I've played anywhere in the world.
Well, yeah, and Dylan and I like Taboo more than all three of those, really. So, you know, it really is a nice mix. And I think it's funny, we should at least point out too, that when you say in your top 100, what's your total golf course count at these days?
562.
So that's, you know, it's not an easy feat to be a golf course that gets into your top 100 when you've played five times that many golf courses. So, there's certainly a lot of good stuff here to take in. You know, I encourage people, it's winter time right now. Obviously, most of those courses are under snow, but it's the perfect time to start planning a summer vacation. And, you know, as we say, you know, go hit some rocks in Muskoka. I guess that's the way to say it.
Go hit some rocks. Right on.
All right, Eric, thanks for being on. And like I said, we're going to have another one here coming up, probably in the next month, where we talk about some of the other things. We're going to talk about the Devil's Paintbrush and Pulpit as well, and it'll be fun. It was a really, really good trip, and I think there's so many people that just don't know about some of this part of Canada that you need to get up there and explore it, because there's a lot of fun golf and certainly a lot of very dramatic golf.
Absolutely. I would go back tomorrow if the snow wasn't up there.
As always, I need to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without you. Follow us on iTunes. Listen to us on Audio Boom. Rate us on iTunes. Reach out to us on social media, now at Golf Trip Experts. At Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just let us know what you think of the podcast, what you'd like to see us do. any changes you'd like to see made, any suggestions you have, any criticisms, just get on there and yell at me and Mitch if you want to. We're just happy to be doing this and really expanding the brand with golftripx.com. So we're looking forward to hearing from you as much as possible. Thanks again, and as Mitch always says, go run down your dream. So long.